On the 3rd of August 2021, Future Media interviewed the First Lady of Namibia, Monica Geingos, about her experiences and lessons learned during her Love Protects COVID awareness campaign. This is a portion of that discussion, facilitated and supported by the United Nations Namibia. The blame game has been played a lot during this pandemic over the last 2 years, locally, internationally. I don't think anyone in the medical field, in public office, has had it easy at all. What impact do you hope that your campaign and ongoing campaigns have on changing conflict into cooperation?
So the conflict part, there's so many levels of it. And there's so many levels to what we refer to as the blame game. I'm a pragmatist. And pragmatically, when you are in a crisis, it's not the time to say, Christine, you shouldn't have done this. We are here now. How do we mitigate damage? That's where we are right now. How do we not make the mistakes we made last year? What is it that we've learned? Because there is a difference between a ego-driven blame game in the moment of a crisis and holding people accountable when there's a causal link between what you did and did not do and somebody experiencing harm. So being held accountable where there's a causal link between your conduct or lack of it, and being held accountable isn't blame gaming. Blame gaming is when there's nothing else that can be done right now to change the situation, but we need to work together. So what we try and talk about not blame gaming is from a family level, from a societal level, from a political level, because I'm sure you know the story of Sisyphus, who keeps rolling. He was punished and he had to roll up this rock up the hill. And as he got to the top of the hill, the rock rolled down and he had to push it up again. And that's how COVID kind of feels like to me, even with vaccines. It feels almost, to some, it feels meaningless. Like, why must I mask? Why must I vaccinate? Why must we lock down? When is this damn virus going to get away? We are all fed up. We are all tired. But like with Sisyphus, here, we don't have to do this alone. If we can do this together, we can get to the rock on top of this mountain and it stays there. But for as long as we're all running in different directions, angry with each other, blaming each other, we're going to go nowhere. But Christine, let me tell you the blame game that worries me the most is the one that's developing within the Namibian medical community around ivermectin. Especially without medical professionals. They are not agreeing on this. And we are out here, and I've seen Future Media doing the same, telling people, trust the experts. But we're not addressing the issue that these experts are not agreeing. And you'll notice that the people that I had specifically gotten onto our platforms, and it's respecting every single healthcare worker and expert there, but we specifically made sure to get pulmonologists, to get the specialist physicians, to get the doctors on the ICU floors, particularly in the state facilities, because they're seeing the numbers, they're seeing the realities a lot more. And with all due respect to GPs, because they've done fantastic work as well, because the hospitals have been overwhelmed, GPs have been looking after us. So I'm not disrespecting GPs in any way, but there were doctors on the front lines dealing with COVID 24/7. And I think their views must be weighty in our analysis of certain issues. And we did try and front load their views. And there was a lot of consensus amongst those who were in the ICU wards. There was a lot of consensus with pulmonologists, cardiologists, neurosurgeons. Yeah. And there's a reason for that. They saw the practical impact.
When we get questions about who do I trust, because we've gotten that question as well. This is what my GP says. This is what someone else says. And we always say, go with the numbers. Go with the data. And if you can't find data here, there are so many international trusted sources, WHO, CDC, where we have millions and millions of millions of statistics showing in one direction. And that's not something that just happens by chance. And you have to put your trust, like you say, in people who are seeing the numbers, people who are seeing the most severe cases, mm-hmm. people who are working with this all the time.
Yes.
And that's so important. And it's something we've tried to do with our own campaign. And it is, I think it is concerning.
Yes.
But again, if we can work together, if we can all sit around one table and decide which way are we going to go? What are we going to stand together on and move forward?
I agree. And one thing I have seen is that we've got exceptional experts and specialists in this country. And I've been very impressed by our doctors, people like Dr. Bouvet, Dr. Kashitai, Dr. Cupido. There's a number of doctors who've just blown the lights out for me in terms of their skill. So we must also trust our local expertise. I think as Namibians, we don't trust each other's expertise enough. So yes, there's international data that is pointing a clear picture, but we've also got some local raw data coming out that is echoing what's being said overseas.
Yeah.
And we must listen to some of the experts that we have locally. They do know what they're talking about.
I was very impressed with the local experts we spoke about and how well they were at articulating all this information that's sometimes very complicated, but breaking it down in a way that all of us can understand and really answering the core of the question. Why did you choose the hashtag Love Protects for your campaign?
Because love does protect, and there's nothing you won't do for people, a community, a country that you love. So if I've got an elderly father, which I have, who's 87 and he's got comorbidities, I want to protect him as much as I can from COVID. And if it means setting aside what I believe to be my individual freedoms and restricting my movement, getting vaccinated, protecting him in any way that I can, that's what I'm going to do. If I can protect the economy, the governor of the Bank of Namibia said that vaccination policy is economic policy. And I agree with him. Because when the economy bleeds, we all bleed. So if it means I must get vaccinated, that's what it means. If it means I don't want a lockdown for the fourth or the fifth wave, and there's certain public health regulations that I need to follow, my love, not only for myself, but for others and their livelihood as well as mine, forces me to act in a protective way. So it would be highly irresponsible of me to gamble with my life when I know there's people who love me, people who are dependent on me, people who feel my loss. So the least I can do is to be careful. So by loving myself and vaccinating, I'm loving everybody else and protecting everybody else. So love does protect.
I love to use my sister as an example, who is actually generally very hesitant around vaccines. And with the COVID discussion, COVID vaccines, we had long discussions amongst our family because we were a very close-knit family. And I said to her, you know, we've got three options at this point. We've got, we carry on as normal and we see what happens, which we know how that's going to end up. We isolate forever. Don't go out. We don't see friends. We don't see family. We stay in our little bubble, which is impossible, actually. Or we vaccinate. And it's the only upside at this point. It's the only positive scenario, realistically, scientifically. It's the one that can actually get us out of this. And she decided, her and her husband decided that because they love their family, because we are close-knit, because we have high-risk people, because she wants to send her son to school, they'll go for vaccinations. And actually, in a normal setting, if you will, in air quotes, she wouldn't have done that so easily. And that's such a great example for me of someone who puts aside their own personal,
for others.
Yeah.
But do you also see the power of conversation?
Exactly.
Where you can convince somebody. So we are all obligated to do whatever we can do to dispel misinformation that we know is going there. Because what we also know, Christine, some people are dying because of misinformation. They're making decisions based on misinformation that costs them their lives. And ultimately, if I look at the risk, the nominal risk a vaccine presents and the very real risk the COVID virus presents in your body, why would you gamble when what's on the table is your death?
Yeah.
There's some gap. If I have to gamble and I'm going to lose 1,000, that's an easy gamble for me. If I'm going to gain 10,000, but I stand to lose 1,000 Namibian dollars, okay, fine.
Yeah.
That's okay. But if I'm going to win, the upside is to win 10,000, but the downside is I could lose my life. Keep your 10,000. I want to keep my life. What is more valuable than your life?
Exactly.
Or the life of others?
And how would you feel looking back if you knew that it could change?
And I want to quickly dwell on that, Christine, is one thing that we are all forgetting is that we are in a history-defining moment. The same way we talk about the 1918 Spanish flu, the same way we talk about World War I, the same way we talk about big events that happened in history, we're in the middle of a big event. And because we're in the middle of it, I don't think we recognize how big this moment is. And there is going to be new information because there are known unknowns to this moment. But the known we have right now is that vaccines can protect us.
Yeah.
Vaccines saves lives. So if you're going to cling on to the opposite and say it doesn't, I hope you've got evidence that will stand the test of time. Because with time, scholars, scientists who are not emotionally involved are going to take a look back and say, there were people telling others not to vaccinate. What information were they using to make this? And as a result, X amount of people died. Now, you are not going to convince me, Christine. 4 billion people have taken a shot of vaccine in their arms. And that those 4 billion people don't care that they are allegedly going to die in the next 2 years. It's not true. It's not logical. So whatever decisions we make in this moment are historical decisions. As individuals, as communities, as countries, and as a nation of countries, it is a history-defining moment, and I certainly don't want to be on the wrong side of history. And the information we know, as you alluded to, is enough for us to be comfortable with our decision to vaccinate. And those who do not want to vaccinate, I hope they've got a body of evidence, credible evidence, that they can say, this is the reason I believed it to be the right decision. There's doctors prescribing ivermectin, for instance. Mm. And I hope in a couple of years' time, or even in the next 2 years, ivermectin is either going to be proven or disproven. But there's a lot of information right now that supports it to not be a cure or a treatment.
Yeah.
So those who believe it is, I hope they've got evidence that will stand the test of time.
That was a part of the interview Future Media had with Namibia's First Lady, Monica Gangos. Stay tuned to hear the rest of the interview or find the whole discussion on futuremedia.com.na under podcasts.